So you're going to be at Hi-Fi in Indianapolis tonight in Fountain Square. Let's talk a little bit about the tour first. This is being dubbed as an evening with Pete Yorn, and I'm hearing it's an acoustic show. Is it solo acoustic, or do you have a band with you as well?
Solo acoustic, me and my guitar.
Just you and a guitar, and hopefully a place to sit. Do you enjoy doing those kind of shows?
Yeah, they're fun. They're kind of very spontaneous, where we never know where it's going to go, you know, from song to song, kind of create it as we go. It's cool to kind of play the songs in their original, kind of the way they were born, you know. So a lot of them were written on acoustic guitar, and I could kind of present them in their simplest form.
All right. Sounds like just sort of a freer experience overall than when you're up there. You just released an EP with Scarlett Johansson. It is the second time you guys have worked together. How did that collaboration start? How did you and Scarlett hook up and start doing music together?
I had known her for a long time, since she was, maybe 15, 16. And I don't know when I had the idea to make the first record back a little while ago now, like in 2006, breakup. I remember she popped up as like someone who I thought might be perfect for the concept that I had. And I texted her. I said, hey, you want to make a record? And I just think I got lucky. It was good timing, and she had a moment, and she was like, sure. It was that simple.
And so she wasn't, there was no trepidation on her part about contributing to something a little different for her, huh?
I think I just lucked out and caught her at a time where she was looking to explore music more and get in a studio and do that. So it was just kind of perfect timing. So.
Right. Okay. When it comes to those records that you guys have done together, do you write the music together, or do you write the songs and bring them to her? How does that work?
For the most part, I write the song. We've done a couple covers, but if they weren't covers, I wrote them and then brought them to her.
I see. All right. It seems like it's been a while now since we've had just a Pete Yorn album. Will we have one on the horizon anytime soon?
Yeah, there's a bunch of new music that I recorded in the first half of this year, so we're just kind of figuring out what to do with it. It should be starting to trickle out pretty soon, I think.
When you're working on, I guess, an album, do you tend to overwrite? Do you have a bunch of songs, a bunch of leftovers?
Yeah, I don't call them leftovers.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's a poor choice of words.
They're all the greatest song of all time. It's funny, over the years I've recorded songs that, time is a great benefit, because you look back and I'll hear a song that never made it onto a record and I'm like, well, how the heck did that not make it onto the record? You get so like kind of clouded in some tunnel vision at the time, and then like some other songs will sneak on a record that aren't necessarily bad or anything like that, but there's certain ones that somehow got left out. You tell yourself at the time, like, oh, maybe this one doesn't fit in or something like that. But, you know, a lot of the new music, I think I record about 18 new songs, and I'd love to for all of them to be heard at some point. So I just got to figure it out.
Yeah, it's just some guys, I've talked to people before, and they say that, you know, whatever they write, that's what makes it on the album. Then, you know, you hear stories of other guys who have, like, you know, a Prince-sized vault of just stuff that they've never put out there. So I'm always curious. How does the writing process work for you in general? I'm sure it's different for every song, but where do these songs come from?
Sometimes, you know, the songs come out of nowhere and the whole thing's written in 5 minutes and you're like, well, how did that happen? And then there are other songs, you know, you start maybe laying down some music first and the music will kind of inspire it'll pull out, you know, the lyrics from you, kind of where you want to go, some sort of emotion in the music. Other times I'm thinking about things a lot and I'll write a bunch of words down and then I'll kind of put music to that. So it could be any different way. My favorite ones are the super mysterious ones that kind of come out of nowhere and you don't even kind of understand them too well in the moment, and then they seem to just kind of get under your skin and you can't really say why.
Yeah, when you're do you ever struggle to finish writing songs, and if so, do you think I'm just going to put this one aside and something will come to me eventually?
Yeah, if it gets to a point where it's just like, you think you have, you're like, you know, I'll be like in the shower or something, and I'm like, oh, I know what to do, you know, of a song I've been working on for a few days. And I go in, I switch it, and then as soon as I switch it, I don't like to change. And then, like, your mind starts to play tricks on you. And when you get into this kind of thing, it's best to put it aside for a little bit and get some perspective, like I was talking about.
Yeah. Now, I guess, when did you realize that this is something you wanted to do, be a musician and a songwriter? You remember about how old you were when you made that decision?
It was probably towards the end of college. I was up in Syracuse, New York, and I just realized, you know, I'd always played music for fun, and I never thought it would be a career. I was supposed to go to law school, and I remember thinking I'm going to graduate school, but I could always go to law school. Let me try music first. I don't want to be. I remember thinking at that age, I'm like, I don't want to be 30, wondering what if, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try music for a few years and see if anything comes from it. And if not, then I could always go to law school. And so, I'm still trying the music thing.
But
20 years later.
Right, but law school's always there for you. That's not a bad fallback. What? How'd your parents? How'd your parents take that news?
You know, they're my biggest fans and super supportive, but at the time they were nervous like any parents would be. And I remember, luckily, I have older brothers, and my brothers really fought for me. They were like, you know, they would, when my parents would get in my face a little bit, they would kind of step in and cool them down and say, no, he's good. Let him do it.
Well, that's good. Your siblings got your back. That's nice. Did you grow up in like a musical household? Was there, you know, always music around? Your parents play or anything?
I will say, yeah. You know, my dad was a dentist and my mom was a real estate agent later, but she was a teacher early on. And one of the things she taught kids around my town was piano. So we had a big piano, which I kind of just messed around. And they tried to give me lessons when I was five, but I was too hyper and I wouldn't sit there and I had no interest. But then they got my middle brother a drum set, and I remember that was in our basement, and I would always kind of sneak on that. And I think my brother taught me how to play drums when I was like 9 years old. And from there, I never really looked back. I just loved playing. And that was my main thing for years. And then I learned guitar not till I was like 14 or 13. And but they used to, my brothers were a good deal older than me. So when they were in high school, I was still like 6, 7 years old, and they would have all their friends. You know, we grew up in Jersey, and all their metalhead friends who were into like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, they'd be rocking out in our basement, and they'd bring Marshall half stack down our basement. They'd be smoking, and they'd be just playing like Breaking the Law live, you know, with a band with like three guitars, drums, bass. And I'd just sit there watching, and I'd be like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, so I think seeing the live music from my older bros up close as a little kid was definitely influential, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it sounds like you had some really tolerant parents.
That's what I think. Like now, I realize I'm like, my parents, because my parents are very kind of, you know, they're kind of conservative, and you know, they let us rock out loud in the house. I wouldn't have tolerated it. It'd been too loud.
So yeah.
Blaring out of the basement.
So what kind of, is that the kind of music that you grew up on? You grew up listening to then, like Breaking the Law and stuff? Or who were the people that you listened to?
My first big loves were Priest and Maiden, for sure. And I remember we first got MTV. We got cable, and we didn't have it. The MTV had been out for a while, and we finally got in. All I would sit in front of the TV, like, praying for a Judas Priest video to come on. I was like, I was obsessed. And then, like, 1985, 86 rolled around, and my brothers went to college, and they came back. And I remember my brother played me the Smiths for the first time and the Cure. And, you know, we'd already kind of been getting into U2 and the Clash, and then everything shifted. And that's when I wanted to learn how to play guitar. As soon as I heard like the Smiths and the Cure and REM, I remember I was like, oh, I want to kind of write songs like that. So I really wanted to figure out how to learn guitar, but it still took me a few years to get it going. Very influential older brothers that turned me on to a lot of good music.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you for talking to us today, Pete. The show is at Hi-Fi. It is a solo acoustic show with Pete Yorn, and it sounds like it's going to be a great night of, you know, like you said, taking the songs back to where they came from. So I really appreciate you talking to us, and have a great show.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.